T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show.
Yeah, shot Chicago sports for sure.
Afternoons on The Score.
Meanwhile, Fields in the game with the play clock is right down to zero. Here goes Fields. Can he get in? Yes, he can. So the Bears on a drive that consumes almost two-thirds of a quarter. Punch it in.
You know, being the five plays, like Adam said, I think that there's it's when and how you do it, you know, that you got to have a little feel to it and see. But again, there's, you got to have a why as to how you do it. And I think we didn't really know the exact amount of plays that it would be. Could have been more, could have been less. But when we, once we got behind a couple scores there in the fourth quarter, we knew it was going to probably limit a few of his stuff.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show. Afternoons on The Score.
I've hated how Matt Nagy's handled this offseason and this process leading up to Justin Fields. You're getting blown out. The score is lopsided. You said that you were playing Andy Dalton because he gives you the best chance to win, and the goal is to win games with Andy Dalton while Justin Fields dominates on the practice field.
Uh-huh.
Then when the game's out of reach and the score and the margin is wide, doesn't that mean you should be playing Justin Fields more, not less?
Theoretically. But you know,
you okay?
He's got his plan. Yeah, I'm good. He's got his plan, and the plan calls for Andy Dalton to get starts and Fields to get a couple of plays here or there.
Yeah, but like in the fourth quarter when they're down three scores and they've got a drive, like just...
Danny, this whole thing where you're like adjusting to game situation and trying to be sort of intuitive as you watch a game unfold in front of you, that's not Nagy's bag.
My bad. I won't let that happen.
Good call.
Top of the hour brought to you by DuckDuckGo. What was your guys' experience for the game last night? Did you enjoy yourself?
For the record, Danny's talking to our producers, Chris Tannehill, I believe it's pronounced, and Shane Riordan.
Yeah, that's not it, man.
Oh, so close.
You guys enjoy that game last night?
No! Oh, Danny. God, I dreaded it all day, and it was exactly what you thought it was going to be.
I
was a little bit better because Fields got in there for a little bit, but just enough to make you angry.
You wanted to see more of him.
Yeah. It made me want to drink myself into a stupor.
Did you?
Yeah. No, I didn't. Oh. I didn't because I'm responsible and wanted to take in the game and see what's going on. But
it's just a softball game.
Danny Loki gave me the
It's truly not an enjoyable experience.
No,
it's
they're not.
It's not fun to watch them.
They're really not fun.
You don't get inspired by anything they do. They don't leave any hope except for the five or six snaps that Fields took. That's it. There's nothing fun about the Bears and football in Chicago.
Dick Butkus in the mask in the middle of a pandemic.
That was fun.
That was everyone. And if Dick Butkus can wear the mask, so can you.
How about
you just picture what he was MFing underneath that mask?
Absolutely. It's just the stark contrast of generations and that dumbass millennial TikToker behind him, like throwing up gang signs with his bleach blonde hair. I wanted to put him in a toilet and give him a swirly. And then Butkus just sitting there like, God. Like
Butkus would have done that for you. Butkus would have been a great guy to do that swirly.
Like, that had to have been like a corporate thing. Like, congratulations, you won, you know, Bears game with Dick Butkus in the suite.
That's right. And then he says, sit back there. Don't you dare come near me.
Yeah. I remember, you know, watching games with Doug and OB. Like, don't, you know, they're locked in, man.
Yeah. Yo, he was.
Don't be throwing up gang signs behind Dick Butkus.
He was clearly like up on like the high rise table at the field level suite, just locked into the game, fuming over how the defense was playing.
Just great
fuming
to be
that
here.
A camera was put in front of him.
That too.
I mean, show him from a distance. That camera was like 4 feet from his face.
Yeah.
He used to be very media friendly. You guys remember
the TV show?
Dick Butkus' acting era and the grill. Remember the newspaper grill that he used to sell? I loved that
thing.
But
he's not media friendly in the midst of a game when the Bears are down 20. That's what he's not very media
friendly. He wants to punch somebody in the mouth.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Do you guys like the glory shots of that stadium? Like, oh, look at this beautiful.
Look at this monstrosity.
This $5 billion gift.
They really did fetishize it. Oh, I've never seen a football palace like this one. Great.
And how about Michael's talking about, like, oh, when he was up on the big screen and Collinsworth mentioning, yeah, I like how they introduced you and not me.
Al Michaels and the rest of the Sunday night broadcast team.
Al Michaels sucks, by the way.
Whoa.
That wasn't a good. That was not a good call last night.
You know, he doesn't. I can't go there.
I think Tirico's a creep, and I wouldn't want him calling the game either, but I think Al Michaels might suck.
I think Michaels is probably the greatest football announcer of my lifetime.
That's fine. Was, though. Right?
Al Michaels' presence makes it feel like a big game.
Enormous.
But I do think that some of the praise that I see for him acts as if he is still at the top of his game when he is often very late in recognizing who the player is. Like, he'll be like, complete, running, down the sideline, tackled out of bounds, first down, Daryl Henderson.
Which you don't, that's like, fine. You know what I mean?
It's never a Bears nick, guys.
That was not, no danger of that being Damian Williams.
I don't need him breaking down why they're doing what they're doing, but I do need Chris Collinsworth to do that, and he couldn't do it either. But did you feel informed by Al Michaels last night at all?
No, but I don't necessarily. Yeah. But Tirico is the guy who, like, he knows the rule book and can quote it verbatim.
Michaels knows the rule book pretty well.
I like him as a gambling guy, like when he gives the nod to the gambling line, but now it's not fun anymore because
everybody's gambling.
They're running gambling commercials during the broadcast.
I like their absolute disdain for the game they're calling. You saw it last year with some of those clunkers at the end of the year. They know what it is. Don't underestimate, the mental acuity of your fan base and people who are watching. Like, they know it's not a good game. And why try to act like it is? They're just presenting it for you.
Yeah,
here it is.
And
here's us. Hey, here comes Chris sliding in.
I'll say, Shane, Al Michaels was not really very apologetic when they blew the shot of Matt Stafford's wife, when that was not Matt Stafford's wife. They came back and was like, oh, what are you going to do? Sometimes you take a picture of a blonde in a suite and it's not Matt Stafford's wife. Sorry about that. Like, he was kind of a jag in that moment. And then when they did show Matt Stafford's wife, Kelly, she had his number on her shirt. It was fairly obvious.
It was easy to identify the anti-vaxxer Kelly Stafford.
Big old yellow shirt with a giant 9 right there in the middle.
Imagine having cancer and then still becoming an anti-vaxxer.
It's tough.
It's like Anthony Rizzo stuff.
Yeah, it's hard to get yourself.
What if she's doing research?
she's still doing research.
Still working on it.
Good Lord.
People want you to expound on Mike Tirico as a creep. I don't know if you're willing.
There were some Me Too allegations against Tirico.
He was.
Oh yeah, there was. That's right.
The ESPN book, the James Andrew Miller ESPN book, painted a pretty bad picture of early Mike Tirico at ESPN for sexually harassing women in the workplace. And I believe
it was all before NBC hired him.
I believe was suspended for it. I don't 100% quote me on that. I read that book a long time ago. Early 90s.
All right, so Tanny, do me a favor. Hit the 3-minute dump button, and I'm going to say, allegedly, Mike Tirico's a creep.
There's
out there
for me to say that, right?
It's in the ESPN Uncensored History book, as you say, by those guys have all the fun. I remember that.
Great broadcaster. He is. He's a very talented broadcaster.
Syracuse royalty.
Just not anymore.
Mike Tirico?
Oh, no, I thought we were still talking about it.
Oh, no.
Tirico's great.
Yeah, he is. He's right.
But doesn't he like identify as Italian or something? Isn't that a Tirico thing?
Yeah, that sounds familiar.
Isn't that like he refuses to say he's African American?
Yeah. Tirico said he didn't. I think he said he didn't consider himself black. Which
he identifies as Italian.
Bomani Jones had some fun with
Bomani
that.
Was like, he's right? Like, that's That's great that you don't identify with it, but I got news for you, Mike.
Bada bing, bada boom, Perico.
It was one of the funniest things I've ever heard. So, Bobani says a lot of funny things, but he goes, I got news for you, Mike.
I got news for you, buddy.
That means Chirico's available if there's ever another racial draft, right? He's on the board.
Yeah.
A lot of ways to go.
I like going to Shane for his takes and just
getting derailed.
Creep, and he identifies as Italian. But both technically accurate, by the way. But yeah, we appreciate it. I was going to say that I was going to try to contextualize the other quarterback performances around the NFL if people weren't watching. So today, Joe Burrow went on the Dan Patrick Show, and he talked about the key play at the end of the game. Game goes to overtime, 27-14, Bengals winner. They pull off an upset. They were a three-point underdog. And he told the story that he himself audibled at the line of scrimmage that a run was called, the defensive front was showing that they were going to stuff that run. He called the play himself, checked to the touchdown, ends up being the key play. Bengals win the game. Joe Burrow, now I know he's the number one overall pick, and Justin Fields was 11th overall pick, but this is Joe Burrow's second year and 11th game.
And he played two full years in college.
Yes, like Justin Fields.
Fields actually played three. He started two full years. Yeah. You're right about that.
But Joe Burrow played early, played 10 games, got hurt, and in year two, coming off a massive injury in a game that he's an underdog of, is checking plays at the line of scrimmage into audibling to himself to throw passing touchdowns to win a game in the opener.
That's how the NFL game is played these days, by the way.
And there was a Kevin Clark article on The Ringer about Joe Burrow that said that they are grooming him. They want him to be Peyton Manning-esque in terms of calling games in the huddle. That they want him to eventually get to the point where he's calling plays. Again, 11 starts in his career. And they're already saying those types of things about Joe Burrow.
That's crazy. That's so maddening, man.
That's just one example. Yesterday, I'm getting inundated with people on Twitter when I sent out the tweet like, Trey Lance gets into the game, his first pass goes for a touchdown, and some Bears fans are convinced that the right thing to do is to sit Justin Fields. Now, they only ended up running him a couple of times, and he had that one pass attempt. Trey Lance got into the field for like four plays.
Trey Lance is coming from a vastly different situation than Justin Fields in college.
The FCS.
Correct.
Namely. And Jimmy Garoppolo won an NFC championship game for the current team and the current coach. But
using Trey Lance like that every once in a while, that's nothing but a bonus for the career of Trey Lance.
Correct. But he got into the game, he threw a touchdown. But then, so I sent that tweet out, and I'm not exaggerating. 50 plus people, as Trevor Lawrence is getting beat up, and the Jaguars are losing to the Texans, and Zach Wilson's getting beat up, and Zach Wilson is losing to the Panthers. People saying, oh, convenient. You're not talking about Zach Wilson and Trevor Lawrence. Let's talk about them. Let's go through it. And we got Boomer Esiason, who does morning radio in New York, coming on at 5 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
Zach Wilson did get beat up in that game. But you know what he also did? He threw two touchdown passes late and staged a pretty nice comeback and had some real highlight throws. Are you telling me that Zach Wilson didn't learn anything from playing in that game yesterday?
No, the difference is, I mean, and Zach Wilson is also, there's no way that he's more prepared for NFL life than Justin Fields. There's zero chance that he is more prepared by his collegiate experience. No, actually, he is by now because they gave him a real
training camp. Because they gave him a real training camp and played him with the reps.
But the difference is the organization and how they feel about themselves and what the goals are for a year like this.
And in fairness, the Jets do not have an Andy Dalton equivalent, an 11-year starter in front of him. But still, like, I don't know how, if we say, who learned more? Who developed more? Zach Wilson, with his full game of tape that he gets to evaluate, and two touchdowns late as he tried to stage a comeback against the Panthers, or Justin Fields' five snaps. I don't know how you come out of that and say that Justin Fields developed more yesterday than Zach Wilson. Trevor Lawrence. Everyone's like, oh man, there were some bad moments for Trevor Lawrence. His passer rating wasn't very good. He threw three interceptions. Hmm. He did. He also had 330 passing yards and three touchdowns.
Yeah.
Do you think the mood is maybe a little different today in this city? If we're like, whew, that was a roller coaster with Justin Fields, but we saw some moments and they let him go out there.
Completely different thing.
50 pass attempts, and you know, he had some great moments, he had some bad moments. It was a bad loss, but you cannot convince me that Justin Fields got more out of that game yesterday in his 5 snaps than Trevor Lawrence got out of it yesterday with his 51 pass attempts, 330 yards, 3 touchdowns, and 3 picks. It doesn't make any sense that Fields could learn more from that game than Trevor Lawrence could. And then Mac Jones taken after Justin Fields, passer rating of over 100, 29 of 39, 281 yards and a touchdown. Against Brian Flores' Miami Dolphins, a top 5 expected defense.
Give me the numbers again.
29 of 39, 281 yards, a touchdown, a passer rating of 102.6.
Oof.
In an upset win over a division rival with a team that's expected to have maybe top 5 is a little ambitious, top 10 defense in the NFL.
Okay. So look, yeah, no. Like, I it's,
how can you possibly say?
You can't. You can't. All you can say is what is that they're committed to this idea of at least Dalton to start.
And I mean, but I keep going, man. You see Kyler Murray yesterday?
He was outrageous.
Kyler Murray, if we were going to do like an MVP tracker, he's the front runner after one game. And that was his first start of his third year. He had 5 touchdowns yesterday, 4 passing. Justin Herbert, second year, game-winning touchdown pass after throwing a bad interception on the road 3,000 miles across the country against the best defensive line, arguably, in the NFL in Washington.
Underwhelming in fantasy, though. I'm in trouble.
31 of 47 for 337 yards with the game-winning touchdown pass late.
That's pretty good. I shouldn't be in trouble.
You play guys early, and if they're good, they become Joe Burrow. They become Justin Herbert. They become Kyler Murray. That is what you do. All of those guys that I mentioned played early.
Mm.
And I'm not cherry picking. Those are just young quarterbacks early. I mean, Zach Wilson, people are like, oh, terrible game. Really? I don't know. A couple second half touchdowns, some crazy highlights. Didn't strike me as a terrible game.
And a big pile of experience.
Right.
And they're one full game of experience closer to figuring out whether they have their guy or not.
Exactly right. You look around the league, and the way the Bears are doing it is archaic. It is not the modern standard anymore.
No, I agree, and that's. I'm glad you have that stuff. NBC shared the simple stat of the, I believe it was 29 first-round quarterbacks that are currently in the NFL. Only 3 of them started fewer than 5 games in their rookie year. One of them is Jordan Love, sitting behind Aaron Rodgers. Another is Aaron Rodgers, who sat for 3 years behind Brett Favre. And the other is Pat Mahomes. Like, that's it. Those are the only guys.
So Patriots lost, by the way. But regardless, the game of Mac Jones was great. He got 17-16 Patriots, not Dolphins. Dolphins, not Patriots. My mistake. Point is, these guys are playing. And yes, those examples that they highlighted on the broadcast, that's where it is. And that's where it's going. And that's where, hopefully, Matt Nagy will take them sooner rather than later.
I think he will. I think he will. I'm encouraged by the few snaps that there were and the fact that that Pat Mahomes had none until week 17. So he's strayed from the plan already. I think Andy gets a home start against his former team. And I'll be interested to see how many people are going to join you in rooting openly against the Bears.
Dude, yeah. It is going to be a toxic crowd on Sunday. The chants are going to be relentless. They're not going to listen to Justin Fields' plea of like, hey, don't chant for me when Andy's in. It's a little disrespectful. Nope. Not after a 7-hour tailgate and an 0-1 start on national TV and the Bengals sack Andy Dalton a couple times. It will not happen.
Speaking of drunken fans, I tweeted the TMZ video of Bears fans and Rams fans down in the bowels of the $5 billion gift to the people of Los Angeles.
I love that video.
Oh, football's back, baby.
My God. It just keeps going and going and going. And God bless TMZ for doing some work for us. They put like this, the fan footage from in the stands. You see the people have like a little minor fracas in the stands. And then you get 3 minutes of them down in the bowels of the stadium, just going back and forth. Pants getting like dragged down to the ankles, like Akeem Hicks jerseys being ripped as giant bald Bears fans are just pounding the hell out of Aaron Donald jersey laden Rams fans.
These are all good parts, but do you know my favorite part of the video?
What's that, Chris?
The guy in Ditka sweater walking by, just like, hey, what's going on here? Like, keep it moving.
Does he get involved? Does he get involved?
Just passes by.
He's a spectator.
Doesn't help, doesn't hurt.
Oh, God.
You don't want to help.
Yeah.
You don't want to help the drunken brawl.
Oh, it's too bad. That guy's Akeem Hicks jersey is now covered in blood. That's too bad. Wonder if that'll stain.
Just game worn. Game worn jersey. Oh, Akeem Hicks. No, I wore it. I got beat up.
I wore it in a game. That's how it got bloody.
The quote of the day in the NFL, unfortunately, did not come from the Bears game. We'll get to it. Plus, Jay Glazer with a report or what he's hearing on when the Bears want to start Justin Fields coming up on The Score.
It is fourth down and a little bit more than a yard to go, almost 2 yards to go. These are desperate times for the Packers, who trail 24-3. Fourth down.
Got to get it. It's as simple as that.
Fourth down, a little bit less than 2 yards to go. Dylan the lone setback, Rodgers under center from the Green Bay 22. Fake to Dylan, bootlegging right, Rodgers looking, throws right side, it's broken up, incomplete, attempt for Devontae Adams, and the Saints take over. Marshawn Lattimore reached in front and knocked it away, and New Orleans has it in Green Bay territory inside the 25 near the 23-yard line.
Oh, no.
It's football season. Get a little Wayne Larrivee, Packers Radio Network.
More arrogance by Matt Nagy.
Yeah.
Mm. Go Bears.
What a great call that was. That's what led to me and him having like a momentary beef.
You and Wayne Larrivee?
Yeah. Yeah. Come on. You would not be saying that if he was the coach of the Packers.
No.
He's mad that those trick plays were working in 2018.
Oh, yeah. I remember that in 2018.
Yeah.
When Nagy seemed smart, the future seemed bright.
God, that was fun.
All those things. Club Dub, huh?
Club Dub.
Who's with me now?
Yeah.
Let's go.
Club Dub this win.
Club Dub.
Bottom of the hour on The Score, brought to you by DuckDuckGo. We're going to be Club Dubbing, even if the Bears are not winning.
In Vegas?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Come on.
You know what?
Come on.
I propose that we club dub before the game, just to be sure that we get it in and not have it dependent on the game.
Speaks. I'm going to be club dubbing for about 72 straight hours.
We're going to Circa. It's going to be amazing. We're broadcasting from Stadium Swim. I don't know what he's doing.
I'm doing house music. I'm making house music happen over here. Oh, I'm doing
man.
That one
Careful.
That goes.
He hasn't you know been to Vegas one? In a while.
It's not house anymore?
No.
Is that what they do? What do they do?
There's no way to know. Careful with John Gruden. He doesn't like the dancing. Remember that from last time.
That's true.
Disco. Well, let's all start dancing.
That's true.
Yeah. You think John Gruden will still have that job in 4 weeks? He probably will. Mike Mayock won't.
I think they'll still have the job. God, they owe him so much money.
So much money, and they're so bad.
What are we going to Vegas for again?
We're going for Bears Raiders. We're going to be at Stadium Swim. We're going to be at Circa. We're doing the show Friday. We're doing a special show Saturday. We're also going to do the Bloody Mary Bar on Sunday. If you are going to Vegas, hopefully you got a room at Circa. Check to see if you can still get one. But anyway, we're going to have so many Bears fans there.
It's going to be so great.
Let your friends who are Bears fans know that Circa is going to be the spot. It's the Stadium Swim Sportsbook. It's the pool Sportsbook. Like,
it's outrageous.
It's completely insane.
It's outdoors. There's with giant, giant screens where you can watch games and bet on games from the pool and get waitress service. It's ridiculous.
Shane, do I have to go to the Bears game?
I mean, you don't technically have to.
Well, I'm just saying, I might want to just hang out at Stadium Swim all day.
I might be with you on that.
You know,
I don't think we have our tickets yet.
I'd like to see a new stadium, and I get it would be cool, but man, like spending an NFL Sunday at Stadium Swim
would be outrageous.
Pretty incredible. Yeah,
well, you could come back and spend the second half of your NFL Sunday there, right? It's the early game.
It's not.
Oh, no, it's the late game.
It's the afternoon game.
Ooh,
so
that's
you can do
tough.
The morning at the pool, but then you got to leave the games early to go to the game. I might spend the whole day at the pool.
Yeah, I might be with you.
Okay.
Might want to reserve one of those lily pads just you and I could sit on there together.
Shirtless. Yeah, shirtless, obviously.
Sounds hot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Frankly. No, but seriously, before no,
I mean, it's
we
hot
even get
out there,
there,
that's what I mean.
Like, what's our, you guys are technically the bosses of the show, even though I'm management. What's your stance on me drinking during the show?
No problem with it.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I'm all for that. I think that would only...
I agree. I think you guys should also drink during the show.
I plan to.
Yeah.
I don't know if I will.
Okay.
Frankly.
Yeah, we'll see.
I don't trust myself.
I don't trust him either. I have no problem with me or Shane drinking, but I'm not sure about Speaks.
You never know what
can we have
saying.
A mic cable long enough for me to sit in the pool as you're doing the show, and I'll just like, you know, I'll get you a few guests, but I'm just going to like chill out there for a little while.
That sounds good.
You guys do your thing, right?
Yeah. Too far.
Me and Aloha, Mr. Hands, and Big Wally, Big Sexy from the 108, they're just going to hang out. They're coming.
Good.
Are they really?
Yeah.
The public face of the 108 guys.
Oh,
my guys,
well.
So. Pete Hand. Yep.
You know, he's always been a mouthpiece for the 108 guys, in my opinion.
Yeah, he has.
Yeah. It's been very obvious. By the way, speaking of Circa, did you guys read that story about the Secret Society of Chicago Bakers?
Shut up.
Right, well, I can't include that in the air check.
Shut up.
Oh, if only.
So we play that clip from Packers Saints.
Yeah, because the Packers lost by 35 points. Do you know, Danny, that no team has ever played in the NFC or NFC Championship game and then lost their opener by 35 points the next year? First time ever for the Packers.
That checks out.
For anybody that good.
That makes sense.
How do you
sense?
Not know that off the top
I'm
of your head?
I'm sorry that I didn't know that. It was a weird game. I watched a lot of it. Brad is a Packer fan. My nephew, his son Jack, who's a Packer fan, they were over at the house. We were watching the game.
Let me ask you a question. Did he consider that a benching for Aaron Rodgers when Jordan Love comes in with under 11 minutes to go?
They wanted it earlier. They were so disgusted with how Rodgers was playing and didn't like the offseason. Like, they were disgusted.
Because there's split thoughts on whether that was just, look, it's garbage time, put in Jordan Love, or whether that's a flat-out bench.
I think it was garbage time.
He had a 36.8 passer rating at that point at Aaron Rodgers.
He looked horrible and disinterested. But regardless of any of the football points to be made from that game, Jameis Winston, he was the lead in Peter King's Monday Morning Quarterback column this morning. Like, it's one of the biggest stories in the NFL. Former number one pick. Gets humbled, led the league in interceptions. Bruce Arians jettisons him, replaces him with Tom Brady. He takes a minimum salary, goes and backs up Drew Brees, sits for a year, learns, is apparently the consummate pro, and promises that he's going to be new and improved and better. Also got LASIK surgery. And then he comes out and has this incredible game and curb stomps the Packers. And after the game, he was asked about how he did it. And I would say this was the quote of the day.
How did the defense in the running game give overall shape to the way this played out, Jameis?
Well, I just think we were prepared. You know, one thing my trainer, he told me, he said, what did he say? He just told us to be prepared.
It's brilliant. It's so brilliant.
Oh, that's too bad.
You just...
He said, what did he say? He just told us to be prepared.
Well,
great.
He was. He was. I mean, that worked. I think the trainer keeping it that simple, that's the story, you know?
But it's such a great, like, oh, I lost my train of thought. What am I going to do? I'm going to just repeat the word that I used at the beginning.
How did
the defense in the running game give overall shape to the way this played out, Jameis?
Well, I just think we were prepared. You know, one thing my trainer, he told me, he said, what did he say? He just told us to be prepared.
Uh-huh. Just be prepared.
It's live TV, man.
It's
Jameis
great.
Is struggling. He's like, he doesn't remember what he said. He's feeling good about himself. And here you are, Parkins, laughing at the guy.
I'm saying it was the quote of the day. It was hilarious. There's no value judgment here. He said we were prepared. And then he tried to give you a better answer that wasn't cliche. And then he's like, what did he say? It doesn't matter. Just be prepared.
That is the Boy Scouts marching theme.
Yeah.
Be prepared.
Be prepared.
So, that's you know, right. It's worked for them for a long time, and they've had no problems as far as I know. There's been no issues with the Boy Scouts in any way.
No, I think.
Right? There's been no lawsuits, nothing like that.
It's been a clean,
healthy organization.
Fine motto.
Top to bottom.
You see this breaking news, by the way?
What's that?
USC has fired Clay Helton.
Mm-hmm.
So the Trojans' job is open, which has been linked to Urban Meyer in the past, and Urban Meyer losing that game in Jacksonville? Or like people are, is he already going to jump ship from Jacksonville and go to USC?
That's not a great look for Urban Meyer to get boat raced by Tyrod Taylor and the Houston Texans, is it? I guess maybe it's not a boat race when you come back and put up some points towards the end.
Oh, no, that's a bad loss. Yeah. I mean, they were what, 5.5, 6-point favorite and just had really no shot of winning the game at any point. And a lot of people thought the Texans were going to go 0-17 because of the Deshaun Watson situation and how bad their offseason was.
Yeah.
And everything like that. And
no, apparently not.
They came out and dominated the Jaguars. I'm in a pick'em pool with Nick Wright. And so we go, what's your strongest pick? What's my strongest pick? And then we try to come to some sort of consensus on the other games. And he really likes Jacksonville on the stance of this just anti-Houston. And I said, I'm like, I got to say, I'm not betting it. Put it in the picks, whatever. You're paying more of the entry fee here than I am. But Jacksonville was a one-win team last year. You know, how much I saw people pick them in some survivor pools this week because of how bad Houston was. It's like, I think Trevor Lawrence is going to be great, and Urban Meyer is one of the best college coaches I've ever seen, but it still is a college coach making a jump to the NFL.
Sure.
And it's still a rookie making his debut, and it's still a one-win team.
I have done very little work on the Houston Texans. I know that I think their organization is chaotic and pathetic. I know that they have a franchise quarterback. They're paying an outrageous amount who they're not only not playing, but also not trading, and apparently keeping away from the rest of the team as well.
Yeah.
So they've got some real chaos there. But I know Mark Ingram is there, and I thought about drafting him in fantasy just because his name is Mark Ingram, and he's probably bound to score some touchdowns, and he did yesterday. But I don't have a lot else for you on the Texans. Yeah. I bet a lot of other people don't either.
I mean, listen, they're not very good. Tyrod Taylor is their starting quarterback. Brandon Cooks.
Good enough.
You know, you would know. Danny Amendola got in the end zone yesterday. I mean, this isn't necessarily a point about the Texans being real or whatever. It was just
no, but I'm saying people don't think about them, don't consider them a viable actual NFL team.
Yeah, and they're probably going to be awful. But people in the gambling community that were, you know, very high on the Jaguars, they were a pretty big favorite in survivor pools and stuff. They were like the third or fourth most frequently picked team in some cases that I saw. I was like, they won one game. They won one game last year. How much better could they possibly be than the Houston Texans? Boomer Esiason will join us at 5 o'clock. Jay Glazer on Justin Fields next on The Score.
Because we feel Andy's in a good place too. You know what I mean? So it'd be different if we didn't feel that way. We feel Andy's in a good spot too. Like we're confident in Andy. And there's a lot of things with Andy. I know we've talked about it before, but his experience, he's won a lot of games in this league. His decision making, his intangibles, his leadership,
things that he's doing.
Shut up! It's the hardest part. Oh, it's true. I hated waiting. Four plays. It's way too long.
Yeah.
Frankly.
It's time. It's time for another song. Let's think about what's going on here, story-wise. Find some inspiration. See what happens.
Are you being shaky over there because you need to go to the bathroom?
Why, yes. Yes, I am.
No. Okay.
As a matter of fact.
Well, we got Boomer Esiason in 15 minutes.
I can't wait for that, man.
Yeah, I'm very much looking forward to talking to him. I want to see how he thinks they handled this entire thing. But last night, the rookie quarterbacks, if it's true that Justin Fields needs to learn from Andy Dalton, the whole thing.
Sure, but Boomer's sitting there, you know, all day with the CBS crew, watching every game, everything, dissecting all the quarterbacks.
Following Zach Wilson closely as the host of Boomer and Geo in the Morning from WFAN. He's great. We're normally going to have him Mondays at 4, doing 5 o'clock this week. But Jay Glazer, this guy gets scoops. He released a video today, and it had an anecdote. Yeah, Scoops Reardon, Scoops Glazer.
Yeah, be careful.
Yeah, my bad. He took the name from you.
Ramblin' Grimace.
We'll see. We'll see if we have a Ramblin' Grimace Part 2 situation here.
By the way, Grimace is a taste bud. That came out last week, that Grimace, the character, was modeled after a taste bud by the McDonald's people.
Hey.
Al Michaels, fascinated.
I think that's pretty stupid.
You think so?
Yeah.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, I think it's a stupid thing to model a mascot off of.
It
wasn't a mascot. He was just part of the crew, right? Like there was the Hamburglar and Grimace. Didn't they all show up at the same time?
The crew of mascots?
No. He thinks he's a real person.
Why
would you pick a taste bud? How dumb.
Trying to make it appetizing. Trying to make McDonald's seem appetizing.
Yeah,
which, of course, it is. Especially with their new spokesperson, Matt Nagy. Did you guys see that today? Matt Nagy out there doing ads. Teaching the team how to... How to play together and be tough and strong.
Get that endorsement.
I'm not an idiot.
Ooh, I don't know.
Get that endorsement money while you're still head coach.
40 chicken nuggets on the red line home from the White Sox game Friday night. Passed out before they got there. Yeah, guy called me like 8 times. I had 8 missed calls from the Uber Eats McDonald's delivery driver. I was drunk, of course, coming back on Friday.
You didn't need to tell us you were drunk, we know.
Yeah. Who's going to eat 40 nuggets?
Breaking news, it's after 9 p.m. Now, when did you go to Rosemary and then Cork after the game? Was that Saturday?
That was a day, man. That was Rosemary at 5 to the game, and then we are Cork until 3 o'clock in the morning.
Wow, goodness.
We between the three of us, we counted the next day. We had 10 buckets of Miller Lite.
That is a lot.
That's 50 beers.
And what's amazing is that there was only just you. There was not three of you. Yes, you're just confused.
Wait,
you're confused.
50 beers among three people?
Yeah, in like 2 hours.
No way.
That's too many beers.
I know it is. Believe me, I know it's too many beers. Maybe 3 hours.
You drank you drank 17 beers in 3 hours?
I could eat 50 eggs.
I would say between 15 and 17 beers, yeah.
That's really...
It's too many beers.
Yeah, that's way too many beers.
It's impressive.
You know, sometimes I had too many beers.
I'm young.
You are young. You're in your prime.
Yeah.
Good for you, man.
Yeah.
Good for you.
No, that's not good for him.
I still like beer.
It's too much liquid. It's just too much liquid. Like, you could segue to something else, something a little harder that you have to drink a little less of. Give that bladder a break.
I mean, he knows how to drink alcohol, like how to drink liquor, but just that's just...
I like my guys over there at Cork. The bartender hooks it up.
It's a marathon performance.
Yeah, that's impressive.
Really. Let's hear Jake.
Maybe it wasn't 10. I don't know. It was a lot, though.
Do you think you could drink 17 beers
in
3 hours?
Yeah, I could drink 17 beers.
In 3 hours?
Yeah, for sure. 100%.
All right, we'll do that in Vegas. At Circa, at Stadium Swim. Here's Jay Glazer.
At Litlox asks, will Justin Fields be the starting quarterback for the Bears before or after week 4? Well, here's what I can tell you. The plan was for him not to be the starter before week 4. That one I can tell you without a doubt. And the Bears are really hoping that their defense would come up big, they'd be able to play kind of ball control football, and Andy Dalton would be able to manage that team. And Justin Fields could just learn. They did want them to take him along a lot more slowly than throwing him in there in game 1 or game 2 or something along those lines. It's going to be interesting to see what happens with a lot of these teams with their young quarterbacks. And look, you saw, you know, Zach Wilson, he struggled. Trevor Lawrence, he struggled. And San Francisco, I think they're pretty smart. They're putting Trey Lance in just in some situations, try to get his feet wet there, see if they could bring him along as well. Obviously, Jimmy Garoppolo had a huge game in the opener here, but hey, bottom line here, it's still a tough game for these rookies just to jump in and try and acclimate to the speed of everything in the NFL. So the Bears' wishes is that Justin Fields does not start before week 4.
Go Bengals.
Before week 4. But if they lose the Bengals, it's going to put them out there on the road for week 3?
I don't know. But it's clear that he's saying the plan is for the defense to step up, them to win games, and to bring him along slower and just use him in these like little prepackaged plays and all that stuff. Okay. Mm-hmm. I know Matt Nagy said his thing today about maybe Justin Fields in the deep passing game and gave some sort of wry smile or whatever the case may be for that answer in his nothingness press conference today. But if they're going to continue to go down this line of thinking, that means you get more of Justin Fields sooner if they lose. Right.
You know,
that's where we are.
As soon as he made it clear post draft that he was leaning towards the Mahomes and Alex Smith comp, and then we got a schedule, Detroit week 4 has always seemed like the most obvious thing. I know some other people looked down the line and saw something at week 9 or week 10.
You avoid the Browns defense, you avoid the Rams defense, you give Dalton his game,
give him his home game against the Bengals. And you give Fields a super soft landing at home against Detroit.
Yeah, with his kneecaps being bitten off. Nice try, guys. Thought you guys were the smart ones.
That's true.
Right, but
that team showed some fun.
When you knock us down, we're going to get up. And on the way up, we're going to bite a kneecap off. Uh-huh. All right?
They showed some fight yesterday, man.
Kneecap, Tanny. Be careful. Don't pluralize that. He just wants to bite one off.
At a time.
Yeah. So you think there might be two?
Yeah.
Play?
Yeah.
Okay.
Why not?
Listening.
But that was... Tough loss, by the way. Probably the toughest injury of week one. Jeffrey Okuda, the third overall pick out of Ohio State, the corner for the Lions.
Tore the Achilles.
Ruptured the Achilles out for the season. They were down like 20-something points, down 25 or something. Touchdown, onside kick, touchdown, and then onside kick attempt, and didn't get it, but made it respectable, 41-33 to the Niners.
All right, just for the sake of my own edification here, the chances that Nagy and Pace had decided week four against the Lions, long time ago, and it's going to be week four against the Lions, and in between, just nothing but obfuscating and selling BS and distractions and garbage leading us to bloviate in the fashion that has been exhausting every once in a while and leading our brains. Chances that they decided that's just what they're going to do, and that's what they end up doing.
Low.
Think so?
Yeah, because what if...
I don't think he's looking at anything in particular. You know what I mean?
You think he's there for 15 hours a day just staring at a blank screen?
I don't think that he's allowing any of the things he sees on the screen or the field to change his predetermined mindset, manager with a bad plan.
What if the Bears started 3-0? You think they still would have just stuck to their plan and started Fields week four?
That's a good question.
I think the answer to that is no. Like, I think Ryan Pace told the truth. And normally I think all they do is lie. I think he told the truth. I think that they signed Dalton before they knew they were going to get Fields because they thought Dalton was the best option available, like the year before they thought Foles was the best option available. Then they got Fields. Then they said, well, what do we do now that we have him? Nagy said, well, this is my pick, so I want to do it like I did with Andy, with Mahomes. And in this analogy, Smith is Dalton. And the difference is Fields is more of a ready prospect than Mahomes was. He's faster. We're going to do these gadget plays. Mm-hmm. We're going to watch him do options and handoffs and trickeration and sprint option right, that sort of thing. And then hopefully we win. And now they're going to lose, and they're going to lose, and they're going to lose. And again, I think it's going to be uncomfortable at Soldier Field on Sunday. I think the defensive line of the Bengals is good. I think the receivers and the quarterback of the Bengals are good. I know Joe Mixon is good. And I think it is going to be an uncomfortable game with a lot of boos and a lot of we want Justin chants. And it's going to accelerate the timeline for those guys. We'll talk to Boomer Esiason about what he thinks is best next on The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.